welcome. Thank you. Let's see. I thought I unmuted her. Anita, you're unmuted.
Yeah. Hi,
Yeah,
can you
you're.
hear me now?
I can hear you.
Hi, my name is Anita, and I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon, the Al-Anon Fellowship, and I belong to the Courage to Change Al-Anon group in Bloemfontein, Cape Town. I just want to say thank you for this privilege to share
Anita,
this evening.
hold on. Do you have two devices on? Or just one? Because
One.
there's a high whistling sound. Just wondering where that came from.
Maybe my phone's close to the. Can you hear me now? It's better?
Can hear you. Yeah. No, it's still on and off. When you speak, it starts whistling. I'm not sure why that is. Billy, if you have any suggestions, that would be great.
If I take my earphones off?
Yes. For some reason,
Okay. All right. So I'm from the Al-Anon group in Bloemfontein, Cape Town. And as you heard, I'm from Jillian's home group. And I'm very privileged today to actually share this platform with so many wonderful speakers and to be on such an amazing international group. So I'm pleased also today to be sharing on a very interesting topic for me as well, which is changed attitudes, AIDS recovery. Before I get into this topic, I'd like to just tell you a little bit about myself. I'm an adult child of an alcoholic, and I'm married to an adult child as well. And I have two beautiful children, two boys who are watching me from somewhere in Cape Town. So shout out to my boys. Hi, children. Yeah, so I grew up in a dysfunctional home. I'm currently still living with active alcoholism. And when I received this topic today, I realized that there were two ways that I could have spoken about this topic today. One was changed attitude from the people around me through my own changed attitude and how it helped the people around me to recover. And the second one was my own personal changed attitude and my own personal recovery. So today I'm going to choose to talk about my own personal recovery and changed attitudes. So I grew up with this disease, but I didn't realize how much it had impacted my life as well as my relationships. I didn't know that as well as other family members, I was also directly affected by the disease. Coming into the program, I heard that one alcoholic affected at least 17 and up to 35 people around them. How was I personally affected by this disease? As a child, I was overvigilant, always expecting disaster, and always checking the air, the atmosphere, for signs of danger and trying to read the signals that was happening at home. I felt like I was always on guard and waiting for something to happen and then getting ready to be either in the flight or fight mode. I grew up very fearful of people and of life in general. And as a child and even as an adult, I found that nobody wanted to discuss the elephant in the room. The elephant in the room, which was the drinking. I'm not sure why that is. Maybe it was because, people were in denial. I certainly know that I myself was in denial. And it was actually a taboo subject, growing up in my household and in my community. So as an adult living with active alcoholism, I became anxious, depressed, angry, and I swung from emotion to emotion, and I was constantly either reacting or overreacting. I was also very attracted to drama, and everything in my life became a dramatic event. the physical manifestations were things like headaches, stomach cramps, nausea, sleeplessness. And I was also, I couldn't understand why I was also very restless. You know, I couldn't sit still. I have that same issue up to this day. And I can't settle down for too long. So when I came into Al-Anon, I came in kicking and screaming. I didn't want to go to Al-Anon. I didn't want to belong to any group because, like I've heard so many people say, they didn't think that they were the problem. So I didn't really think that I was a problem. I thought something had to be done. Someone had to change, but it was not going to be me. So that's the attitude I came in with to Al-Anon. The first person I met, my first point of contact was Jillian. And she told me not so long ago that she felt as if I was interviewing her when I came into the rooms of Al-Anon. Because I had some really hard questions for her, and she really, I think she stumbled and she didn't know how to answer most of them. Because I just didn't want to accept that I belonged there. And I wanted to know A, B, and C, please tell me how I can cure the alcoholics in my life. You know, give me the 3 points and I'll take this home and go home and I'll try this out and see if it works. But all I heard was keep coming back, and I heard let it begin with me. I didn't know what it meant, but I found myself propelled every Monday to get into my vehicle and to drive to an Al-Anon meeting. At first, I really didn't know why I was there. I thought all the people there were a bunch of Looney Tunes. I think I kept going back because of maybe the smiles that I used to get when I got there and the warm hugs. You know, Al-Anon is really know how to give a nice warm hug. I miss that because of lockdown. I miss that a lot. Because of the warmth in the rooms, I don't know whether it was the cake and tea. Maybe it was the cake and tea. I don't know. But I think it was mostly because I felt understood for the first time in my life. For the first time in my life, it felt like I wasn't going mad. Somebody could actually acknowledge that there is really something going on, and they experienced it as well. So, like I said, when I first started going to Al-Anon, I heard those two things stuck with me. Keep coming back and let it begin with me. So there are a few things that helped in my recovery, tools, if you want to call them that, things in my life that I knew I had to change and I had to come to grips with. I didn't want to change. I didn't understand why I needed to change. I wasn't the drinker, but I had developed a lot of unhealthy coping mechanisms and childhood behavior, which I took into my adulthood. I, as a mother, because I was dealing with active alcoholism, I actually became a very, you know, I was emotionally detached from my kids. You know, I was there. I did what I had to do, but I was almost like a robot. I felt completely disconnected from myself, disconnected from life. So no matter how many good things happened, I couldn't see it. All I saw was the drinking. All I saw was the chaos that it brought. And even if somebody didn't put their socks in the washing basket, I'd make that thing into how much you drank last night and how much you, you know, messed up. So small little incidents became about the alcoholism. And the definition of insanity, Al-Anon's definition of insanity, is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. And by the time I got into Al-Anon, that's how I felt. I really felt that my behavior was insane. I did insane things, things that was totally out of my character, things that I didn't like. I didn't like who I was becoming. And so I kept coming back. That was the first thing. The first step to my recovery was getting to a meeting, sitting down and just listening. Sometimes I didn't speak. I just got there and I sat down and I listened. So that was the first step to my changed attitude and my recovery. Second thing was honesty, acceptance and awareness. I had to become completely and rigorously honest with myself about what I was feeling, and I had to accept that I couldn't control the people in my life. I couldn't control anybody's drinking. I couldn't control the path that that person decides to take. I had to face, I had to become aware that I needed to do something. Something had to had to change. And that something or someone had to be me. Okay, so I had to get honest, very honest with myself. Learning. Also, when I first came into Al-Anon, I heard that alcoholism was a disease. And I was like, what? I didn't want to believe that at all. Because I could have two glasses of wine and I was fine. I enjoyed my two glasses of wine. So why couldn't them? Why couldn't they? You know, I didn't want to believe it was a disease. I felt like it was a cop out. So I had to learn. I had to read up. I had to Google. I did a lot of, AA meetings. I attended a lot of conventions. I attended my own meetings regularly. I spoke to Al-Anon friends. I listened to a lot of podcasts. I Googled what alcoholism was and how it affected the family and how it affected me in particular and my children. So learning was key to my changing my attitude about the disease. Okay. And the literature, I absolutely loved the Al-Anon literature, so much so that I became the librarian in my group just so that I could be close to the books and just smell them and read them, and because I just love the literature. And I always said, if you can burn my house down, you can steal all my clothes, you can take whatever you want, just leave my literature, because that's been an invaluable tool to my recovery. Trusting my higher power. That's the other thing I had to learn. I had to learn to trust and lean on my higher power and let him take his rightful place in my life. Because my higher power was there, but only when I wanted him to be. You know, if I wanted to buy a nice pair of shoes, then yes, I'd go to my higher power and say, please help me to get this pair of shoes. And those are the kind of prayers I allowed him to answer, you know, the basic stuff. But all the big things, I would tell him to, no, you just relax. I'll sort it out myself. So I had to get rid of that attitude and trust my higher power in everything. Trust him to help me cope with everything in my life. And having done that, I saw all the miracles and the gifts that were happening from letting him take control of everything. The other thing was, let it begin with me. And this was the difficult one for me, because letting it begin with me meant that I needed to make my amends first. I couldn't wait for somebody else to come up and say sorry. I had to put my best foot forward first. I had to really make the first move. And where there were arguments, I had to really step back when I had to step back, when everything in me was screaming that I had to be the winner in that argument. I had to learn to back down. And then also speaking low and slow when everything in me wanted to scream, So some of the, so those are some of the examples I used as to let it begin with me. That I'm not by any means saying that I'm perfect, that I have got that down. All I'm saying is that I'm still a work in progress, and I work on that part every single day to let it begin with me. The next thing was service. I had to get involved in service. And in the beginning, I didn't even know that I was getting involved in service. I used to just go to a meeting, put out chairs or put out the coffee, help with the library. And all those little things helped me to understand that I was needed and my help was valued. I was valued as a person. And during lockdown, I didn't let that stop me, because I continued doing service, because it was helping me to recover in a big way. So I wrote articles for the Echo magazine. I'm helping with the newcomers meeting, and I'm still doing the literature for my group. And then I'm sharing when I'm asked to share. When Jillian said share on this, on the AWB, I was, my head was screaming no, but my mouth was saying yes. And I don't know how that happened, Jillian, but it's happened. And here I am. Okay. And then the next point is paying close attention to my feelings. I had to check in with me all the time. I still do it now. And I always remember HALT, H-A-L-T, and the acronym for HALT is, am I hungry? Am I angry? Am I lonely? Am I tired? So if ever I'm feeling any of those things, I go and address it. If I'm hungry, go and make you something nutritious to eat. Am I angry? Why am I angry? What can I do to diffuse the situation? Am I lonely? I can speak to an Al-Anon friend. I can ask a friend to go for a cup of coffee with me. Am I tired? Do I need to take a nap? Do I maybe need to go for a long walk to refresh myself? So I look at all those things in trying to pay attention to my feelings, because that helps me to come out of those bad moods and change my attitude. Self-care was also very important for me. In the beginning, I didn't know how important self-care really was until I came into Al-Anon, because if I was okay, then everybody else around me would be okay. You know, so practicing self-care, exercising, taking care of my body, taking care of my health, making it my responsibility and not anybody else's. Meditation, like, self-care like meditation. I really found meditation to be a helpful tool, where I would sit quietly and just listen to myself, listen to my thoughts, and talking to my higher power. I go for long walks in the morning and I just love it. I love talking to my higher power. I used to hate being alone at one stage in my life because I was too afraid of my thoughts. I didn't want to be alone with my thoughts, but meditation helped me a lot with that, even guided meditation at night to sleep. So pay close attention to what I was telling myself, okay, self-talk. Choices was something that I never knew I had. For some insane reason, I never knew that I had choices. I always thought that I must deal with everybody else's choices and put mine last. You know, I didn't realize that I had a freedom to choose if I wanted to do a particular thing or I didn't want to do a particular thing. I thought I always had to go make peace and do what everybody wanted me to do just to keep everything happy. So choices and setting boundaries, and knowing what I wanted at any particular and given time that worked for me. And it wasn't necessarily what other people wanted, but it was what I needed for my own self-care. Okay, so that's choices. Working my steps. I do that on a regular basis. And when I find, when I don't work my steps or I've forgotten to do something Al-Anon for the day, then I start getting miserable and I start getting irritable. So that's when I know I need to go back and do my steps again. And I really do physically go and journal. And Barbara, I think it was Barbara that showed us the blueprint for progress. That's the book. I absolutely love that book that I go to. If I'm feeling angry, I go answer the questions on anger. If I'm feeling fear, then I go answer questions on fear. And it really helps me get out of myself, get out of my head, and get onto paper what, you know, I'm feeling. And that really helped me and helped in my recovery. Sponsor and staying in contact with my Al-Anon friends. So that was very important. Now I just WhatsApp video call them and just to reason things out with my sponsor, with my Al-Anon friends. I enjoy that very much. It gives me a clear perspective of whatever I'm going through, and they can share their own experience, strength, and hope with me. And I take what I like and leave the rest. But it helps me see my problem in its true perspective. Okay? So these were just some of the tools that I used in the program to help me change and to aid in my recovery. My biggest reason for wanting to change, because you have to be honest with yourself and you have to want to change. You know, otherwise, don't bother coming to an Al-Anon program, because those are the two most important things. You have to have that want. And the reason I really wanted, part of the reason was why I wanted to change, was because going forward for my children, for the next generation that's coming after me, I don't want them to hide addiction or alcoholism any longer. I want them to know that there is help, that there is hope. And they needn't fear addiction. They needn't try to hide it, because there is a place that they can go to get the help that they need. And I wanted it to stop with me. I wanted the cycle to end with me, and I wanted to break that cycle. And that's the reason why I sought recovery and why I knew I had to change my attitudes. And like I said, by no means is it I'm there yet. I think I'll be in the program for the rest of my life, because progress, even if it's like a tiny little step every day, is progress. You're still moving forward, and that's what's important to me. So work in progress. How much time do I have, Jillian? I don't know how much time. Okay. So I want to share from this wonderful book, Courage to Change. I'm going to read you from page 107 about changed attitudes. I came to Al-Anon in so much pain that I quickly opened my arms and my heart to whatever the program and its members were willing to show me. What I discovered is that what I go through in life is not as important as how I interpret the experience. In other words, I have a choice about my attitude. For instance, I always expected my happiness to come through others, especially my alcoholic parents. I spent most of my life waiting for them to show their love and approval in a way I could understand. They didn't. And I felt deprived and unlovable as a result. Al-Anon has helped me to interpret my situation differently. Through working the steps, I have learned that I am lovable, regardless of what a parent or anyone else thinks. I can either feel sorry for what I have missed, or I can appreciate the chance to learn to love and appreciate myself. I do some of both, but today I know I have a choice. And today's reminder, it's time to stop waiting for others to take care of me. The only person who can love me the way I want to be loved is me. Gradually, I accepted the fact that my if-only wishes were not about to come true. But I also learned that I could be happy even if they didn't. I think that's such a beautiful reading to end with. And thank you very much, everybody, for listening. I really enjoyed that. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Anita. Thank you very much. That was wonderful. Well done. Glad all your technology worked beautifully. I'm going to hand over now to Saskia. Saskia comes from the Hottentot Holland area of Cape Town. She looks at the Hottentot Holland mountain range, which is very beautiful. And that's in a suburb called Somerset West. So over to you, Saskia, to continue on the Changed Attitudes Aid Recovery.
Hi, everybody. My name is Saskia, and I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon in Cape Town, as Julian has just said. It's freezing cold here today. I'm sitting here wrapped in a thick blanket because I'm almost shivering. It's so cold. I think my lips are even blue. Anyway, thank you for this incredible opportunity and privilege to speak to all of you from all over the world. When I was asked to speak at this conference, I was in the middle of actually having a really bad week, a week of struggling with myself and my character defects. I find that as an adult child of an alcoholic who is still in the early stages of recovery, I can get frustrated at the pace at which I'm changing and sometimes despair, believing that I'll always be the same old Saskia. I so long for recovery, but am impatient and hard on myself. When Gillian asked me to talk on Changed Attitudes Aid Recovery, I kind of winced inside a little, I have to say. I told her that I felt unqualified to do it as I had really been struggling that week with my own bad attitudes. She kind of laughed a little and gently encouraged me by saying that this could be an opportunity for growth and that no one expects me to have all the answers. And then, in fact, sharing honestly about where I'm at is helpful for others to hear. It also struck me that maybe my higher power's timing was perfect, and this was something he was guiding me to. In my 12-step journey, I'm presently working step 4. I felt it was time for me to take inventory and get really honest with myself. I'm already aware of a lot of defects that I know about already and I'm working on, and my attitudes are certainly one of them. I arrived in the rooms of Al-Anon about 18 months ago in desperation because of my husband's alcoholic drinking. I had an attitude of resentment, self-pity, and unforgiveness towards my husband because alcohol always came first. And even though I begged, cajoled, and threatened, nothing ever made any difference. I blamed everything that was wrong in my life on his drinking. Worst of all, I treated him with an attitude of disrespect when he was drinking and hated myself for it. I believed he was hurting me and the children on purpose and that he had a choice to drink less, but selfishly wouldn't. I had become controlling and very unpleasant to be around sometimes, always angry about the night before. It engulfed everything in my being and I felt completely stuck. I knew that if I didn't do something about it, I'd likely turn into a bitter old woman one day who dislikes herself intensely. In Al-Anon, I quickly learned things like the 3 C's. I didn't cause it, I cannot control it, and I cannot cure it, which lifted a great burden. I love reading, so immersed myself in the literature and attended 2 meetings a week to learn as much as I could. Within a few weeks, I asked someone to sponsor me and my growth really sped up. I learned that alcoholism is a disease and realized that my attitude and reaction to my husband's drinking was in fact enabling him and also tearing us apart. I reacted in anger, which basically gave him an excuse to continue drinking. Convinced that I had to learn a new way of responding to him and that my trying to control him was counterproductive, I quickly changed tack in my approach and attitude with good results. I no longer questioned him about how much he was drinking. I chose to stay in my own lane and not interfere with his choices, giving him the dignity of living his life the way he chose to, and allowing him to finally face and experience the consequences of his actions. I had learned that I needed to mind my own business, but however, if his behavior was directly affecting me and the children, I had the right to lay boundaries too. My journey towards emotional sobriety had started and I was feeling less stuck and more empowered. After about 9 months, his drinking had accelerated even further. I came across an excerpt on separation in the Al-Anon book, Al-Anon faces alcoholism, and decided that I would ask for a separation. My intention was never that it was going to end in divorce, but rather that the separation was a step in love and hope. The excerpt said, "Alcoholism really runs its course without some period of separation. And so, after speaking with my sponsor and asking my higher power for his guidance, I decided that was the right next step to take. It was incredibly painful for all of us, but the words, 'nothing changes if nothing changes,' reminded me that action was needed. Within 3 months of being separated, the disease of alcoholism was arrested, the drinking stopped, and we were reconciled. Things are far from perfect, but what's important is that I must continue to focus on myself in my recovery. Just because the alcoholic in my life has stopped drinking doesn't mean that all my problems have disappeared. And this is where things get really tough for me. As the adult child of an alcoholic, I've actually come to realize that I probably have more issues affecting me from my childhood than I ever had to face in my marriage to an alcoholic. My character defects are plenty, and one of those defects is also that I am very hard on myself. I struggle a lot with who I am as a person, and when I try to fix myself, those efforts are often thwarted, and I fall on my face again and again. Failure at times sometimes feels like my constant companion. I read the literature and I get inspired. I attend my meetings. I reach out for help. But my journey needs to go so much deeper on a spiritual level. And I know now I can only achieve that with the help of my higher power. Hence the beginning of step four work. After being asked to speak at this conference and feeling really inadequate and unqualified, I realized that in fact, this was an opportunity for me to dig deep and learn further about how changing my attitudes can aid me in my recovery. So I don't sit before you as someone who has a success story to share, but rather a sharing of my findings as I learn for myself more about how powerful changed attitudes can be not only in my recovery, but also assist the others in my family in their recoveries too. I've had a taste of how changed attitudes help when it came to me responding differently to my husband's drinking, and it was really effective. So based on this hope, I'm determined to carry on with my learning because I've seen how effective the program has already been for me. Recently, when I was feeling frustrated at my struggle to change in a particular area, a reading from Courage to Change brought to light what I needed to learn about the three A's, which I'll read here. The three A's being awareness, acceptance, and action. It is on page 92 of and April 1st. It says, "I've heard acceptance mentioned at meetings as one part of the three A's, awareness, acceptance, and action. However, I am inclined to jump from awareness to action without even pausing for acceptance. My thinking goes like this: something's wrong. Quick, let me fix it before I have to feel any discomfort. The problem is that until I accept the situation, defect, or memory that has come to my awareness, I can rarely take effective action or live serenely with the consequences. The action doesn't work, or it makes things worse, and I feel helpless and hopeless. Even if it does work, I am usually too full of self-doubt to realize it. Most of the time, I still have to go back, sit still, feel the feelings, and come to acceptance. It helps to be reminded that my higher power already accepts me and my situation and loves me on the bad days as well as the good. Today's reminder, moving from awareness to acceptance to action takes time, but the benefits are worth the wait. As I learn to accept my defects, circumstances, and feelings, I learn that I am a worthwhile human being just as I am. With that kind of acceptance, I begin to see my options, and slowly I can begin to take action to change. Some would suggest that I stop concentrating on changing myself and think first about accepting myself. That gave me the boost I needed. I was jumping from awareness straight to action with great gusto and falling on my face. I didn't realize that acceptance is necessary first. I needed to accept myself exactly as I am, warts and all, and receive the acceptance and love that my higher power has for me. I have to let go of controlling my own recovery, just as I had to let go of controlling the drinking. I believe that the steps will help me with that, and I also need to change my ungracious and impatient attitude towards myself about the pace of my recovery. easy does it, I remind myself. Things have shifted in our family now that the drinking is under control. My older teen and young adult child, who had quietly struggled through the drinking years, suddenly became quite difficult and started to behave in a rebellious way. This really caught me off guard because they were always such good, sensible kids. Now they were behaving irrationally and making some unwise and dangerous decisions. I struggled to know how to deal with this new situation. I was tired from the struggle with their dad's drinking and thought I could finally start to breathe and relax again. I had learned how to deal with the drinker, but felt ill-equipped in handling those who were affected by the drinking. This was new and scary territory for me, especially as their mom. In one situation, my then 17-year-old son started secretly dating the woman who was almost 7 years his senior. He had met her at a center where they both volunteered. We found out about it from the owner, who also informed us that this young lady was a drug addict and an alcoholic and had only just recently come out of rehab. Naturally, everything in me just wanted to protect my child and stop the situation. But thanks to what I had learned in Al-Anon, I was, for the most part, able to remain calm with a good attitude and not freak out like I would usually do. I've also learned that laying boundaries with a kind and calm attitude gets favorable results more effectively than an angry attitude which just shuts my kids down. They've given me plenty of opportunity for practicing better attitudes recently. Sometimes I get it right and often I don't, but I'm learning that that's okay. Progress, not perfection. As an adult child, I unwittingly developed many character traits associated with it. I often look for fault in people and can be critical and judgmental too. I also often assume the worst in others' intention, and can be very suspicious. I grew up watching my parents behave like that and took on those characteristics. If someone offended our family in some way, they were quickly written off and we cut all contact off from them, always believing that we were justified in that action. My husband has often pointed out to me, well, to my annoyance, that I'm very negative. This is something that I've recognized in myself and want to change, because I would like to be more lighthearted and fun to be around and be able to choose to live and let live. I'm starting to see small shoots of growth that encourage me to keep on moving on every day. I remind myself that slow but steady wins the race, and I need to commit every day to do something towards my recovery, like reading some literature, praying, meditating, reaching out to my sponsor or another Al-Anon friend, and slowly working my way through the 12 steps. Also, because I grew up with alcoholism, it developed in me a need for everything to be perfect. I needed to control everything and everybody because I feared the chaos that I'd grown up. My attitude of high expectation, not only on myself, but also everyone around me, has caused a lot of problems in my relationships. As I learn and grow in Al-Anon, I believe that slowly my old attitudes will begin to change, and not solely because of my efforts, but because of my higher power at work in me while I choose to work my program. When I feel myself defaulting into old habits by spiraling into despair and catastrophizing situations which aren't as bad as I imagine, I remind myself that I actually do have a choice. I can choose to change my attitude. I have the power to do that. One area that I believe I have managed to change my attitude is in the area of self-pity. In the past, I felt terribly sorry for myself that I had to be burdened, not only with growing up with alcoholism, but also that I married an alcoholic. It felt grossly unfair and unjust. But now I'm starting to realize and absolutely believe that actually alcoholism in my life can be seen as a gift. If I change my attitude and perspective, a gift because it brought me to a place where I had come to the end of myself and my efforts and helped me turn towards the God of my understanding and truly learn how to hand over control of my life to Him. The most important lesson I've learned is that nothing I go through is without great purpose and full of teachable and beautiful moments, leading me to come to know and experience the love of my higher power more and more. I'm so grateful that Al-Anon has brought about that revelation in me. Al-Anon has given me many gifts, most of all, a connection with my higher power like I've never experienced before. I'd like to finish with a reading from One Day at a Time. September 2nd on page 246, it says, "The time's come for me to realize that my attitude toward the life I am living and the people in it can have a tangible, measurable effect on what happens to me day by day. If I am expectant of good, it will surely come to me. Even the grace of courtesy gives rich, immediate rewards in warm response. Awareness of others, a tolerant, uncritical awareness, will gradually change my personality for the better. Today's reminder, if I try each day to put my point of view and my attitudes on a sound spiritual basis, I know it will change all the circumstances of my life for the better too. I will see the results in the way other people respond to me and in the way my daily needs are met. Concern, love, and kindness on my part will be reflected in everything that takes place in my life. Thank you."
Thank you very much, Saskia. Thank you for sharing. That was wonderful. I'm going to hand straight over now to Mayshri, who lives in our economic capital of South Africa, Johannesburg, and she goes to the Edenvale Group. Over to you, Mayshri.
Thanks, Gillian. Thanks, everybody, for this opportunity today. My name is Mayshri, and I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon. Just a little bit of background about me. My husband is the alcoholic. I'm married to an amazing man. He's very charming and charismatic, but he's sick. He suffers from the disease of alcoholism. We've been married for 6 years, and I've been in the program for 3 years. When I came into Al-Anon, I was desperate, and my life was really unmanageable. I felt empty inside. I started attending meetings, and I heard people share about themselves, and they talked about this message of hope. And I listened to how they spoke about themselves and not the alcoholic. And that was confusing to me because I had nothing to say about me. I mean, who was I? I had completely lost myself in the process and the chaos of the disease of alcoholism. But in the meeting, I found this magic, and I believe in magic. And for me, the magic was this feeling of hope, and it kept growing inside me. So I kept coming back. At first it didn't take. It was actually my alcoholic who convinced me to attend a few more meetings. And that's when I realized, you know, that this message of hope is exactly what I need. Then I was given a service position, which I'm very grateful for. So I was voluntold a service position. And I'm very grateful for that because now I started to feel like I had something to contribute to Al-Anon. And I've learned in the program and working the steps that relationship for me in a relationship, any relationship with another organization, a work, a friend, family member, it's important for me to feel like I contribute something. So I was grateful for having the service position because now I felt like I had something to add. So again, this magic feeling kept growing. So I kept coming back. And I hadn't really noticed, but in that short time that I had already been in the program, I started to give my voice in my head more volume. Hopefully you can hear me. I started to give the voice in my head more volume because I had many voices in my head. I had the voice of my husband, the voice of my parents, the voice of my sister, of my husband's parents, my in-laws, the voice of my colleagues at work, people who cared about me. And it was very confusing. And so in the short time that I'd been attending the meetings, my voice started to come out a little bit louder in my head. Once I got a sponsor and I started to work the steps, that's when my recovery really took off. Changing one's attitude is not an easy thing, especially when the habits and the thinking that the thinking patterns that come, especially when the habits and the thinking patterns are so deeply rooted and come from a space of fear and trauma. A lot of my reactions and my thinking and my behavior came from my survival space, the survival space in my brain, my flight or fight response. I was operating in my survival brain for a large portion of my life. So my attitude was naturally stemming from that process. My sponsor held my hand and she created a safe environment for me, to allow this change to slowly happen. And if you had to think about a butterfly, when a butterfly is going through the metamorphosis process, they're in a cocoon and it's a very difficult process. And it's ugly. They don't really look so good and it looks really challenging to fight through, and they have to do it by themselves so that their wings can develop. And eventually when they do, they can fly and they look beautiful. So I had to change my attitude about so many things, to help me start focusing on my life. The first thing I needed to change my attitude about was that alcoholism is a disease. So when my husband drank, it wasn't because of something I did or didn't do, and it wasn't because he didn't love me. It's because he was sick. That was something that I really needed to understand and change my attitude about. I also had to change my attitude about the role that I played in this disease. And I had to understand the role that I played. I had to change my attitude about having to fix everything. So, you know, I mentioned just now that in every relationship, I have to feel like I need to add something. That's the fixer in me. And that's something that I've needed to look at in my step four. So I needed to change my attitude about my role that I played and understand that my way of showing love wasn't necessarily healthy all the time, and that I was enabling the situation. And the four M's come to mind. The four M's are martyrdom, mothering, manipulating, and managing. And I did all four of those things superbly. I was a professional. And I needed to fix this. I needed to fix everything. That was an attitude I needed to change. I needed to change my attitude about my work. I needed to change my attitude that my poor performance at work was because of the alcoholic. I needed to change my attitude about that because my work was in my control. And before I came into Al-Anon, I couldn't tell between what I could change and what I couldn't. I had no idea about the things that I could really focus on. And I spent so much time and energy focusing on things that firstly were not my business, and secondly, I had no control over. I needed to change my attitude towards my relationships with other people, my family and my friends, that it was their responsibility or somebody's responsibility to come and save me. And I needed to change my attitude about my life. I was the girl that had the 5 and 10 year plan. I knew that at this age I wanted to get married. I knew at this age how many kids I wanted to have. I knew at this age how many promotions I wanted to have. I needed to change my attitude about that because that was my world, and that didn't allow much room for my higher power in my life. So in the program, I've learned about God's will. I've learned to allow God more space in my life and allow him space to be active. And also to be grateful for the life that I do have. So my 5 and 10 year plan haven't completely worked out, but they haven't been a complete fail either. And I must be grateful for that. That's a changed attitude. I had to change my attitude about who I am, because before Al-Anon, I felt like I didn't have much to offer. I always saw people above me or below me. I never saw everybody on the same level as a peer in this journey called life. So I needed to change my attitude about that because I'm a good person. I have a lot of value to add. But I'm also a human being and I make mistakes. I had to change my attitude about my role in my life and choose to be active in it. Mind, body, and soul active in my life. That was something I didn't do before. And, you know, by doing all of these things, and it's been a very difficult process, and I'm still working on a lot of these areas, my inner connection with myself has grown and my connection with my higher power. My situation hasn't changed. I'm still married to an alcoholic. But I have to say that Al-Anon has helped me accept me for who I am, flaws and all. And it's helped me to have, it's helped me to say what I mean and mean what I say. But before I even got there, it helped me understand what I wanted to say, you know, what I was really feeling, which I didn't know before. It's helped me be in touch with the needs that I've had. And now there's fewer voices in my head. There's still a couple of other voices, but mine is a lot louder. So Al-Anon has really helped me change my attitude. And changing my attitude has helped my recovery because I feel more at peace with myself. I feel more at peace with the decisions that I make and the role that I play in my life. Thank you so much for everybody to allow me to share. I must say this has been a very emotional day for me today, preparing for this. I've got so much support here today. I know a special shout out to all the people that have logged on to support me. Thank you guys. And thank you to all of the people that have logged on internationally. It's the most amazing feeling to know that I'm part of this family that is so big and I have a place here. Thank you guys.
Thank you so
much. Thank you so much, Ashri.
And thank you, Jillian. Thank you. Good job, you guys, South Africa. And it's so funny, we're going to do the Netherlands after this.